I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, no one's ever gonna keep me down again, oh yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom for the pain,
it's not paid the price,
but look how much I gain, if I have to, I can do anything, I am strong.
Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls. But thank you for listening to We Hold These Truths on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
Hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
That's We Hold These Truths. Hosted by Karen Testament, founder of First Principles New Hampshire, an organization that promotes those truths that are self-evident, which the state and the nation were founded upon. The show takes a look at the latest news and developments throughout the state of New Hampshire from a conservative women's viewpoint. Whether it's family, economic, or current news, We Hold These Truths. We'll cover it all. Join the show, give us a piece of your mind, and voice your input by calling 816-0019. It's We Hold These Truths with Karen Testament on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk, and WSMNRadio.com.
Hi, this is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. In studio today, we have former legislator Kathy Rago, who is now the area coordinator for Network for Educational Opportunities, and Doris Hohensee, who runs the New Hampshire Education...
Families for Education.
Families for Education. And thank you for coming in, ladies. That's exciting. You've got lots of stuff to talk about. One of the things I want to throw out here before I forget about it is the sequester. I keep seeing in the Union Leader this morning there was an editorial on a sequester, or actually it was a My Turn on sequester, and I'm thinking this is nothing more than smoke and mirrors. It's all hogwash, because the way they do their budgets down in Washington, D.C. is they say, we want this. And the way we do our budgets at home is this is what's coming in the door. This is our revenue stream. And this is what's important that we have to pay for, the roof over our head, the food that goes in our bodies, and the gas to get from place to place. And then we have some things that, gee, it would be nice if we could do these because those are going to enhance our life. And then we have this dream sheet over here. Well, Washington operates off of that dream sheet, and they're basically saying – we have a $3.7 trillion budget. Well, you know, it's hard to get your head around those numbers. So let's put them down to some smaller numbers. It's like saying in our family that our dream sheet has $3,700 that we want to spend, and we're having a temper tantrum because we can't find $85 to spend. So you know what, folks? It's about time that we started looking at what it is they're asking and telling them, let's start doing budgets the way we have to do our budgets. So now that I've got that off my chest.
I think that's how the New Hampshire Democrats run their budget cycle as well.
Well, that's the way the government runs its budget cycle, and it's what's wrong. I mean, Senator, she's now Governor Hassan, has turned around and said that she wants to give, what is it, $4.4 million to institute preschool. We don't have preschool. And she wants to give how much money to college students? Is that the $4 million?
It's $4 million for college student scholarships.
And then they want to start preschool. And it's interesting that preschool covers Head Start, which has been a failed program by all measurable standards. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't want us to have the scholarship program that doesn't affect the state dollars at all. I don't understand this.
Yeah, it's very,
somebody help me out.
It's very interesting to me how the governor can put that $4 million in her budget that actually provides scholarships for college students that covers private colleges, public colleges, and religious colleges. And yet, when we get to K through 12 children, they're kind of being left out of the equation, because there is a, if you go to, I think it's Health and Human Services, that's where the pre-K, the whole preschool, the daycare is. It's for parents that have a, I think it's 150% of the federal poverty level qualify. Well, they can take that money and take it to any daycare that they want to use. There's no one squawking that they might be going to any public, private, religious daycare. There's no squawking about the college scholarships that could be going to a public, private, or religious college. So why is it any different with the K through 12? And why is that have such a craw in people's bonnet about that? I don't get that, you know, because the K through 12 is the, that should be the focus, as opposed to the forming into the scholarships. Besides the fact that the K through 12 scholarships are not even using government funds.
Right.
Which is a whole nother.
It's posturing.
It's posturing.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to say that they're open and they're embracing choice, but when it comes down to the wire, you're not seeing them embrace choice.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe it really has something to do with satisfying teachers' unions. I mean, when you can have, obviously, what the scholarship program is going to do is it might mean that there's not, that you're not going to use the teacher union approved teachers. Whereas at the college level, at preschool level, it's obvious that they're all part of it. And so, you know, maybe it has more to do with teacher, is satisfying the teachers' unions. I'm not sure where the governor is coming down on this and why there's this
contradiction.
Exactly. Within her own proposals, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, for preschool, I think they need to first expand the market. And then once we have a lock on that everybody's dependent or needs this preschool because they've focused their whole life around it, then they'll come in and overregulate it. But right now they're in the expansion mode. Just get them out there, get them used to preschool, and create a market. So
well,
that's step
that
one.
Could be too, because the overall population of children is declining.
True,
that yes. And you know, so we have to find a slot for these teachers. There's a whole lot that's involved in there, and the other thing that I'm kind of upset about, and I don't want to move on until we've discussed what you're interested in discussing all the way, but. Apparently, the UNH students are lobbying for their efforts to get more money into their coffers. And, you know, when they're lobbying, isn't that using our students as mules? One more time. This is something that I found happen. I'm turning over the UNH or the union leader to show our guests this picture of the UNH students there, where if you will write a letter to the editor, you can now get into a lottery to get a gift card. So we're asking our students to write in support of the scholarships so that we can now give them a gift card. Isn't that paying for votes?
Oh, and I would be curious to know who's paying. I think the sign there says it's $100 or something like that.
Plus $25 gift certificate to Dunkin' to
Is the government paying for that, or is that a donation from a private person or private organization for those awards?
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, and, you know, is this just business as usual, or is this something that somebody came up with that's relatively new? Is this student initiated, or is this government initiated?
And these are out-of-state students for the most part, because they're concerned that the in-state tuition is going to be fixed and locked, and then the out-of-state students will take the brunt of it. But if they're not part of our community, I mean, it's nice to have their opinion, but it shouldn't weigh as much as those that are in-state and are going to pay the taxes.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Doris, you're touching on, well, if it's an in-state or an out-of-state student, should out-of-state students be allowed to vote in the state of New Hampshire? Oh, that's opening up another can of worms.
No. I thought exactly the same thing, Kathy.
Our eyes are going, ooh, she's hit a button issue there.
So, yeah. And we have to redefine domicile, because now we're talking about college students. That might mean that there are more to vote in. How many times do they get to vote, too, is another question.
They're welcome to vote as long as they register a car if they have one. They become a citizen of New Hampshire. You can't straddle two states.
Well, but if they do that, then they might lose the scholarship money that they got from home.
Priorities. Then they can't. Then they use an absentee ballot and a stamp.
But you know what? But they have a say about what goes on in New Hampshire, don't they?
Right now they do, I suppose, but whether or not that makes any sense. Because if we don't restrict our elections to our in-state residents, then we have no state sovereignty. Then all the other 49 states can tell us what to do, when to do it.
And is this what the thought process that's going on, and why there have been bills introduced to repeal the voter ID?
Voter ID is separate. I mean, that's just identifying who it is that's walking in there. I think the voter registration of whether domicile and residency is the big issue. The court case is another big issue. But that's when we decide whether, if you vote here, you have to have a commitment here, as this is your state. Or if you can just, I'm visiting, but my real state is Oklahoma, but I'd like to vote here while I'm here.
That's ridiculous. And then, when you're talking about the domicile piece, that still ties into voter ID, because from what I saw from my little town, we had a ton of people come in, same-day registration voters. Now, who's going to confirm that they, if they don't have an ID, they could just sign something that says, oh, I live at 123 ABC Street in my town, and they have to let them vote.
They did. And their votes count.
I know.
And those, and they're.
But the Secretary of State says that they've mailed postcards to all of these same day registrants, and they've only gotten a third of them back, or two thirds of them back. I'm not sure what.
But there's no recourse. I mean, do you really think anyone's going to do anything? They're only going to get let's say they only get a third back. So what's going to happen to those two thirds? Well, who knows who they voted for? There's no recourse. It's a joke.
I can't. I'm speechless. I'm sorry. Don't know what to say over that.
I'm trying to curtail my vocabulary.
You're doing very well, but the whole thing is that you curtailed mine at the same time. So, it really introduces yet one more factor into why it is so important that we do some. Curtailing of what it is, what it means to be a citizen of New Hampshire and a voting member of, I don't care what party you're in, but if you're going to vote here, you should only vote once. And the way it's set up, theoretically, somebody could start in Coos County, register to vote, same day register to vote, go down to the next county, and go to every one of the 10 counties. And vote.
Absolutely. And there was someone even posted someone, they took a snapshot of someone's Facebook, and they were bragging about how they went to different counties and voted. Well, who's going to say otherwise? So one person's vote could be worth 10 votes.
Exactly. And talk about swaying elections. So we need to go to a break. Thank you so much for coming in. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. And in studio, we have Kathy Rago and Doris Hohensee.